Good morning. How are you doing?
Good.
Everyone have a good weekend? Thank you, Roy. Over the last couple of weeks, grab your Bibles if you would, turn with me to John 15. Over the last several weeks, we have been here looking at and asking the question, who are we in Christ? Who has He called us to be? And what we have really hoped to do is to lay out a few thoughts, teachings of Jesus that we can lay on our lives and ask ourselves, does my life look like this? And if it doesn't, then be willing to make some changes or some steps so that it will, which will mean that it will come repentance, which will mean will come things that I will allow Him as the vine dresser to prune out of my life, and or areas that I've just realized that do not look like Jesus. And so where we began was talking about the vine and the branches. And in John 15, Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If we remain in Him and Him in us, then we will bear much fruit. But apart from me, Jesus says, you and I can do nothing. And I think that if there is something that I would challenge you to grab a hold of throughout this whole time that would be something that plays over in your head every day is that apart from me, you can do nothing. Because what that will do is it will drive us to abide in Christ. And so that's the first thing that we began to talk about was this call to abide, this call to live our lives with Jesus in everyday life. And so if we are called to abide in Him, it means that we are to live in fellowship with Jesus every moment of every day. He says that if we abide in Him, then we will bear fruit. And the command throughout Scripture and throughout this passage that we're looking at is not to bear fruit, though fruit is mentioned several times. And even this fruit will help people to know that we are His disciples. The command is to abide. But what is fruit? And looking at the vine, we see that the fruit is the life of the vine being pushed up out of the branches, which then comes out as fruit. And so just practically, as we think about this in our own lives, as we hold on to the vine, it is the life of Jesus being pushed up through the vine, out of the branches, and will come out in our lives. So Jesus, our life should look like Jesus's. Our life should look like Him. Is he still in here, Scott Robinson? You in here, Scott? Oh, I wanted him to come. I don't know if you noticed Scott's shirt, but it says, Jesus took naps. Be like Jesus. So we are called to be like Jesus. And now Scott has taken that to the next level and even talked about taking naps. But anyway, I just thought that was funny. Our lives are to look like Jesus' life. And we've seen that Jesus' life is all about relationships. And Jesus' life, if we're looking at His life, the relationship that stuck out more than anything is His relationship with the Father. A word that we're going to use, that Jesus used, is the word abide. You and I, the should be focused in our life is that we abide with Jesus. We walk with Him, and our life should look like Him. And so last week, we tried to begin to ask some questions or see some things in Jesus' life related to His time that He spent with the Father. The first one we looked at was intimacy with the Father. His life looked like intimacy with the Father. No matter what was going on, even when there were big crowds that would gather, Jesus would teach them, but He would break away and make sure that He went and spent time with the Father. The second thing that we looked at last week was His life also looked like obedience to the Father. That time that He spent with Jesus, or that Jesus spent with the Father, He says that the words that I speak of what I hear the Father saying. The things that I do or I get from the Father. And so His life was all about obedience. Even as we saw in the Scripture, He told the disciples that they are to be obedient as He was obedient. He modeled that for them. The thing that we are going to look at today and we're going to unpack is that Jesus' life not only looked about with intimacy with the Father, but he also had very close relationship with his disciples. And so you and I must also, like Jesus, we should have a love for God's family. This is what we're going to unpack here today. This is what we're going to see in the Word of God. And so if you would, just in honor of the Word of God, we'll stand at his reading, at the reading of the Word. John 15, we will start in verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You do not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. Father, as we have read your word, we ask that you would speak to our hearts. And so, Lord, would you speak to me through your word? Would you speak to us as your church? Help us to take these words to heart, to understand them, to hear your call for us to love one another and to be connected to each other. And so, God, we ask that we would leave here changed, transformed because of you. Help us to be obedient in what you say and what we do. God, we love you. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. We see this call here in the Word of God that we are called to be connected. We are called to love one another. And so just like a key word that we're going to use here in the life of our walks with the Lord as abide, the second word is the word connect. You and I should be connected. We should be connected in our love for one another and because of the Spirit that God has placed in us. Over the last couple of weeks, this week I went to the middle school during lunch to just get to know the students. They have they've started a new fellowship within the school called Bulldogs for Christ. And in this time, it's a way that the students can come together. They can pray, dive into the Word together. I went to the high school last week, and one of the things that I was so excited about as we went to the middle school, there was probably about 35 or 40 of them that had gathered, which was awesome. And we had asked the different churches that were represented in that group, and there was like six or seven just in that group. And that's exciting to see, because I think that for the first time, they saw that so many students, probably some in there they were surprised to see, but others they saw, and they were believers together in the same mission field to be able to share Christ. And that's important for us, that as we go out, that we realize that we are connected and that we're in this mission together. And so one of the things that we see, even from the very beginning, is that God has created us to be connected. He has not created us to be a lone wolf or on our own. He has created us to be connected. In the beginning, in Genesis 1:26, if you've been coming to our small groups, we last week started with creation and talking about all that God has done. But one of the things that we see in verse 26 of Genesis 1 is God says, "Let us make man in our image." You hear the plurality of that. Let us make man in our image. I was sitting in one of the small groups, and someone asked, "Well, what's the us and the our, right?" Well, explained, you know, there are a couple of possibilities here. This could be talking about the Trinity, which probably the most widely held belief in this is you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they're saying, us, look at what we have done. And we're going to make man in our image. Some would hold, a smaller camp probably would hold that this could be talking about other spiritual beings in the presence of God, in which a council, a holy council that he would have there. Either way, we see though is a plurality of the fact that God is not alone and he has created us in the same way. And actually, in all of creation, there was only one thing that God said was not good. And that was that man was alone. You see, many times I just notice it in my life is that when I am stressed or when I feel as though I'm not measuring up, I tend to isolate. When I failed, I tend to distance myself from other people and especially sometimes to God. But I want to say something. When I think about, we just sang that God is a good father, right? One of the things that I do as a father with my kids is there are times of discipline and there are times of correction. But in those times, I am very careful that even if I have to discipline, that I make sure that I explain and also that I affirm. And so if I have to discipline, I may have to not withhold the rod, right? I may have to, in times, discipline in a way. But immediately, I will make sure that I hold my girls and that I affirm my love for them. I affirm my who they are and my plan for them in life. I affirm who God says that they are in that time, whether they're on my lap or whether it is me just sitting next to them on the side of their bed, whatever the case is, because I want them to know of my love for them. And in the same way, we have a good father. And so I just want to tell you, this may be for someone sitting here. Maybe you have failed. Maybe you have done something you shouldn't have. Maybe discipline has come in your life. But I just want to tell you, especially in our walks with the Lord, be reminded of his love for you and of his plan for you. He is a good father, and he has a plan for you. And so if there is something that you have done, listen, it does not mean that he is done with you. Run to him. Don't let that be a distance. But in the same way, it should be with each other. We should love one another and run to one another. Again, just as a way of reminder, we see that Jesus' life was all about relationships. There was that relationship with the Father, which is the word we use to abide. There was that relationship with the disciples, a word we're talking about today of connect. But the last one is Jesus had a relationship with those who were not connected to God. Our mission here at First Skytook is that we are connecting people to Jesus. We are to leave from here, and our mission this week, later today when we leave here, whether it's when you go to lunch or whether when it's you go to work this week or to school or wherever it is that God leads you, your mission is to connect people to Jesus. His truth, his gospel, his family, which is family of God, being we are called some beautiful things we're going to see is that God calls us his child, and then his mission. We are called to be a part of his mission, and so we must be actively pursuing that. A word that we're going to use for his mission or his relationship with the world is to share. We are to share in the mission. We are to share his truth with others. We are to share the love that comes from the family with those who are not a part of it. We are to be sharing our lives and his truth with this word, with this world. So there are three things that I want you to understand, three truths that I believe that we can hold in our lives, and the first one is this: because I have a relationship with God, I now have a relationship with God's family. In John chapter 1, flip back there with me just real quick. I want you to see this beautiful picture here. John chapter 1, look at verse 12. It says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. He gave the right. That word right is a judicial term. It is a right in right standing, but also the right as in authority to be called the children of God. It is this picture that we see throughout Scripture of adoption, of when you adopt a child, they now bear your name, they now are a part of your family. Everything that is yours is now theirs. It is a beautiful picture of what God has done. We now, as a being part of the family of God or being a child of God, whatever is God's is now ours. Isn't that awesome? We must understand that. You are not someone just aimlessly running in this world, but you as a child of God, God has a specific plan and purpose for you. And so believe that, cherish that, hold to that, because that is a beautiful picture. In Ephesians, if you'd like to turn there, you're more than welcome to. In Ephesians chapter 1, I love what he says here, what Paul says to the church. In verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Christ, through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved." Oh, do you hear that? He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, with every spiritual blessing. You have been blessed upon high because you are a child of God. You have been adopted, predestined, he says, chosen to now be adopted and be called his child. One of the things I didn't realize and maybe should have been warned of when I married Lindsay was, is not only do I marry Lindsay, but I also marry her whole family. Now, she has a crazy uncle named Don. He now is my crazy uncle. No, I'm just kidding. He is pretty crazy, but he's pretty awesome at the same time. She probably has the more crazies on my side than on hers. But the same is true here. When you become a child of God, you get us, right? And some of us are pretty crazy. Some of us don't do things the way that you do them. Some of us are sitting in this room and a part of First Skytook are more immature than others. And we get each other. And this isn't always a bad thing, but it's not always a good thing. But the call is that together, as we learn from one another, as we walk alongside one another, that we grow. And this is the beautiful picture, is that as God has gifted you, your giftedness I need how God has specifically gifted you to encourage and challenge me. And in the same way, hopefully I will be that toward you, and vice versa. The people sitting around us is that we can learn from each other, and that the things that you have walked through, I haven't had to walk through yet. Maybe not ever walk through. Or some of the things that you have seen, maybe some of your own failures, you can start to see in other people some of those same characteristics, and you can be able to go to them and say, "Hey, whoa, whoa, you need to watch out, because I've been right where you are, and this is where it took me. You don't want to go there, right?" And so we can go and love and sharpen one another and help each other to make sure, as we see these things, maybe missteps or even attitudes in life, we can help come alongside and sharpen one another. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 15 and 16, it says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." We get to call to the good, good Father, Abba, Daddy. He is our Father, and so because of that, there we are part of his family. I told you that one of the things that I struggle at when I get stressed is I'll isolate. And this is a thing that I have now brought people around to make sure to watch and to help me with, or I try to be on the front of it so that I can call to them. And a picture that we see a lot of times in like National Geographic or when we watch the Discovery Channel is that, you know, it's the zebra all alone or wounded. It never works out good for that one, right? I mean, the lion that is coming and crouching and looking for one to devour, it's the one off by itself that usually gets eaten. And just as a picture for you, when you feel wounded or hurt, man, all the more, run to those around you. Seek out wise counsel. And I just want to say this in a loving way, just as your pastor, is that, you know, sometimes the church gets a bad rap of those that are wounded is that we even sometimes will cast them to the side. I just want you to know that if we have a brother or sister who is wounded, we should be coming around side of them and we should love them, seeking to restore them. And now listen, if they're not repentant or if they're off running, listen, there may be other steps we have to take, but that should be the very first thing that we do, is in the greatest of love, because Jesus has given us a ministry of reconciliation, which I know that is talking more so about the reconciliation this way. We are to be reconciled to Him and we're to help others to be in that right standing. But there is this clear call that we just read in John 15, that you and I are to love one another as Jesus has loved us. And I don't know about you, but He has loved me sacrificially. He has loved me when I definitely didn't deserve His love. He has loved me and shown me that love. That is the measure in which we are to love one another. There are, starting in chapter 14 of John, there are many calls to, if you love me, you'll be obedient to my commandments. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. There are many calls to that. We've looked at several of those over the last couple of weeks. In John 14, we see in verse 15, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. 21, it says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. We see in 23 where it says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our home with him. In 15:10, it says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And then verse 12, are you ready? All of these times he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you keep my commandments, you are the one who loves me. And then verse 12, he says, and this is my commandment. He's mentioned all these, right? My commandment, you'll keep. If you love me, you're going to keep my commandment. If you keep my commandment, you're the one that loves me. And then in verse 12, he gives us the answer to it all, and he says, and here is my commandment. Are you ready? That you love one another as I have loved you. That you and I, as a follower of Christ, one of the very first evidences of who we are in Christ is our love for one another. It is that we would come alongside. Now listen, Jesus knew what was facing the disciples. They didn't yet know it or understand it. But he knew that persecution was coming. He knew that they were going to need to gather together and pray for one another and encourage one another. And I just want to tell you that if we're just honest, bluntly honest, we are not the best at doing this all the time. Think about it. How many of us have been in church and we've been coming to small groups for so long, but have not yet ever been honest about a real struggle of sin in our life? When's the last time that in a service, as we've come together, that you see someone stand up and publicly confess a sin or a failure that they have had for the sole purpose of a church who will come alongside of them and love them and point them on to restoration? We have become a place where we dress ourselves up and we cover up and we wear the mask and we come in and we are never, hardly ever truly real. We'll have a time when God even convicts our hearts to the core of who we are, and for the sake of pride, we will remain seated at all cost. All I'm saying is that we see this picture that Jesus is calling his disciples to is to a realness, a genuineness, a love for one another for the sake of the mission, for the sake of the relationship with each other and also with the relationship of God. We belong to the family. Second realization that I want to see is it impossible to be right with God and not right with God's family? It is impossible to be right with God and not right with God's family. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 and 21, it says, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother." What he's saying is that if you say, "Lord, I love you, but I don't like my brother," then he's saying you're a liar. Well, you're saying, well, I don't actually hate anybody. I just don't like him, right? Or I just don't like her. And I just want to define the word hate. I think that we have a word hate that we use, but biblically speaking, the word is ill feelings that affects the way that we act toward them. Ill feelings that affect the way we act to them. Defined in that way, what he's saying is that it will be impossible for us to have a close relationship with God, but yet dislike or will reject or stay distant from God's family. Now, I say this with great caution because I know and hear stories often as a pastor, as I am talking with people in the community or as I'm, you know, just trying to invite someone to church, there have been a lot of people hurt by church, hurt by people within church, people who call themselves Christians. And I find myself actually apologizing often. But I just want to say that when you or I are hurt by someone, most of the time it's because we have elevated self and made self at the center of that. In other words, there are times that I am hurt by someone's actions, someone that I love, someone who would be part of the family. But the greatest way that I can love them and also point them and be an example is that when I go to them and I ask them about that. Sometimes they're just in the wrong, and so we need each other to help with that. Hey, what'd you mean by this when you said this? Because this is how I took it, or whatever. This is the family that we are called to, and to make sure that we are walking with one another in that. Remember, we are to love as Jesus has loved us, and which is sacrificial, unconditional. It is unending. It is a forgiving kind of love. And immediately we're like, well, I can't do that. That's the point. Apart from him, we can do nothing. And so we lay down our pride, and we humbly go, and we forgive, or we confront, or we reconcile. And this is the love that we should have. My relationship with God and my brothers are linked. I am reminded of Matthew 5 when Jesus is talking about, and he's saying, when you have a gift to bring to the altar and yet have a brother who has something against you, he says, leave the gift and go and be reconciled, then come back and offer your gift. You see, there is this emphasis and also responsibility that we have for one another. One of the things that I try to remind myself often is this is not a me faith, it is a we faith. We are in this together. Every letter that is written in the New Testament, every book that is written outside of the Gospels and Acts is always written to a group of people. The church at Ephesus, the church at Philippi. It's always written to a gathering of people at a certain location. Even when we think of like Philemon, it's written to an individual who he has a slave that he's wanting to be reconciled for the encouragement of the church. Even with the letters written to Timothy are always written for how he can lead a group or gathering of people or to instruct them in such a way. You see, we are in this together. When I am sharing the gospel, when I'm talking to people, people want to say, well, I don't need church to have a relationship with God. And I completely disagree with that because there is not a Christianity in the Word of God apart from each other. You will not see it. It is always about coming together. It is always about this relationship that we have, this sharpening of one another to make and go fulfill the mission that He has given us. And so we are called to do this together. Third thing, a reality that I want us to see is my relationship with God grows by fellowship with God's family. We are all created differently, and there are some things that I just need from you. I need to see these things. There are some things that you just cannot learn without someone else. Marriage is a great example of this, I never knew how much of a slob I was until I had a wife who would help me to see that, right? Or I never realized I mentioned me isolating. Lindsay helped me see that as she was like, well, how come you don't ever share your thoughts or feelings? And I was like, well, I never knew anyone wanted me to do that, or I never had anyone. So there were things that I didn't learn or couldn't learn without someone close to me to help me to see and identify. But the same is true in our walks with the Lord, is as we come together, we give people the right to be able to ask us questions about things that we either say or do. And this is not in any way to put us down, but it's to help us to grow. And pride says you can do this on your own. Pride says it's about me, or this doesn't feel good or doesn't feel right. And we allow feelings a lot of times to dictate what we do. But when we walk alongside with people, we get to see. Small groups are a way in which we can become connected. Small groups are a way that we can come together and dive into the Word. But even small groups, if we're not careful, will become very more just a Bible study and not about connecting. And so one of the things I just want to challenge you as you're in small group is when the Word of God, when you're studying the Word of God, when it pierces the heart or when it shows things in your life, is to be open and honest and to share, because those are connecting. We see this in Acts 2, 42, where they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. You see, as they came together, they began to share and fellowship with one another. As they continue to do it, it says that the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Why were people wanting to be a part of what they were doing? It was because of the love that they saw in one another. It was because of the way in which they loved, and that affected, because people wanted that same love. When people look at our love for one another, when they look at your love for your church, do they want to be a part of that? You see, when we start thinking about who we are and who Jesus has called us to be, our life should look like His. And so our life should not only look like abiding with Christ, but our life should also look like connecting with others, because we see that in Jesus. As he walked with a small group of men, as He was connected to them, as He discipled them, and as He walked with them, our life should look like that as well. I have five verses here I want us to look at real quick, and we'll be done. The first one is in 1 John chapter 4, verse 12. It says, "No one has ever seen God." And then it says, "If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us." So in other words, no one has ever seen God, but they will see glimpses of God in our love for one another. Such a great picture. In John 13, verse 35, it says, "They will know that you are my disciples by your love for one another." In Philippians 3:12, it says, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect." This is Paul talking, and he's talking about his walk with the Lord, and he's saying, listen, I'm not perfect yet. I've not obtained all this, but listen to his instruction. It's so good. You hear this this intentionality, and that's what I want us to see as we close, is listen, we talk about this relationship that we're supposed to have with the Father, this relationship with one another, but listen, I just want to say, it doesn't happen by accident. You're not going to wake up a month from now or 3 months from now and be like, "Phew, my relationship with God is, man, it's good. Well, what'd you do? Well, I haven't changed anything in my life, but it's just that." No, it's not just going to happen. There's intentionality to it. And I say this because you may have been doing the same thing for 50 years, but if there's not a continual growth or maturity in your walk with the Lord, it may be time to ask the Lord, what are some things that you can do to help with this? Listen to his instruction. "I've not already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." In the letter of the Colossians, he wrote in 1:29, he says, "For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me." You hear this battle. Listen, I haven't obtained it all, but one thing I do, I'm going to forget what is behind. I'm going to strain. I'm going to run after what is ahead. There are other pictures that he gives that he runs the race in such a way to win. You and I must pursue our walk with the Lord, but we also must pursue being connected with each other. In 1 Corinthians 9:26 and 27, this is what Paul says. "So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." You hear this battle, this warfare that is going on. If you and I are going to live this life that Jesus has called us to live, it is going to be us realizing that apart from him, I can do nothing, so I run to him and I abide in him. It means that I am going to run after being connected with one another. And listen, sometimes it's hard because we all have sin in our life. We all are not perfect yet, but we run after it. And we, as iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another, and we are connected. And so, in the way of application, I just want to remind us, my relationship with God grows by fellowshipping with others. Okay, so in the way of application, one, will you commit to spending time each day with God in God time this week? Will you commit to spending time in God time each day this week? I've challenged you this over the last several weeks. If there is one thing every day that you can do that will help your life become more like Jesus, it is this: spending time with him. Second thing, just a question, are you connected? Have you given the right for other people to speak into your life? Are you being sharpened by others in the family of God? If the answer is no to that, will you commit to group time? Attend a small group, either today or starting next week, whenever you want to do that. I mean, directly following this service, we have small groups that meet on both campuses. Will you commit to just attending one? Listen, if there's one that you've attended but you don't feel comfortable, that's fine. Go to another one. You don't have to tell that teacher, right? Go to another one. But the thing is that we must be connected. Third, will you be willing to invite someone over to get to know them better? As a family of God, there are so many people that we just have those brief conversations. How you doing? Doing good. Did you have a good week? Yep, had a good week. What about you? Yeah, it was good. You know, we do this small talk, but we really never get to know somebody. Would you just take a step? Listen, your house doesn't have to be perfect. You don't even have, you know, We put so many expectations on it. Listen, would you step out? Invite someone over to your house. Maybe it's to go out for lunch or something. But will you make some steps to be intentional to love someone in your faith family? Last thing, will you say yes to Jesus? Maybe you're here this morning, and here we've talked about this relationship with the Father, this relationship with each other, and you're sitting here saying, whoa, whoa, whoa. You mean it's not just about coming to church? You see, everything we do, everything Jesus did was all about a relationship, and you and I now get to have a relationship with God because of what Jesus did upon the cross. All of us are born into this world separated from Him. We are sinners, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But God demonstrated His love for you. And while you were a sinner, He died. He died on the cross in your place to take your place so that the punishment that you deserve now He took on for you. He paid your price. He paid the price. It's been paid in full. And He tells us that if we would turn from our way of living and trust in Him and what He has done upon the cross, that we can be forgiven, we can be set free, and that He would make us brand new. Would you trust? Would you say yes to Jesus today? Let's get before the Lord. Father, as we bow before You, we ask that You would help us to understand that we are to be connected to one another. Lord, and that we would make steps in our life to pursue and run after being connected with others, realizing that we need each other to live this life that You have called us to. God, we pray that this morning, that if there is someone here who has not yet trusted in You, that they would put their faith in what You have done, knowing that apart from You, we can do nothing. And so, God, I pray that today would be a day of salvation. Today would be a day of restoration. Today would be a day of renewed passion to run after You. And so, God, we love You so much. We know that we need You. And so we ask that You would lead and guide us. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. If you would stand as Drew plays and join with us as we worship. If you would like to say yes to Jesus and give your life to Him, I would love to know about that and to encourage you in that. If there's a way that I can encourage you, If you have no idea of a small group that you can go to or what might be a good fit for you, I would love to help you with that. I would even go to that small group with you if that would help in any way. But you come. You come. I would love to pray for you. If you know that this week you have some things that are hard that are coming, that maybe I could be an encouragement and just go to the Father with you, I would love to do that. You come.